do you want to see 4 to 5 clients a day? What time of day would that be? What do you need to do to take care of yourselves? How are you going to feed yourselves? Right? Like really work through Maslow's hierarchy of needs with this, because when you are addressing those sort of external things, then it gives you more context to really inform how you're going to build your practice and what your priorities are there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kate Walker. I'm a marriage and family therapist, practice owner, and professor of counselor education who took a passion for training the next generation of mental health providers and turned it into a multi six-figure business that designs the courses that teach mental health providers how to be clinical supervisors. Teaching graduate students and seasoned counselors, I learned about the fears. Fears about failing, quitting toxic work environments where you're seeing 80 clients a week, fears about starting a private practice, running out of money, getting in trouble by the licensing board, the IRS, you name it. I created the Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses community so mental health providers like you could have a step-by-step guide and learn actionable steps to achieve the security, freedom, and satisfaction of a counseling career you'll love. Look, you had the dream to become a mental health professional. You got the degree, you took the exams, you put in the time. Whatever your business is, a private practice, maybe you want to sell courses like I do, you're adding clinical supervision, you want to write a book or get paid to speak, whatever it is, you are too important to your community to lose to getting in trouble, giving up, going broke, and burning out. Are you ready to break through those fears once and for all? I thought so. Let's get to work.
Welcome to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses, where it's all about working smarter, not harder. And here's your host, Dr. Kate Walker,
who's a nervous passenger only when her kids drive.
I first met Max when I put out a call for speakers for the 2023 Group Practice Summit. Well, we weren't able to get them onto the speaker roster, and I was really disappointed about that because I really loved their website. Their practice, Prism Integrated Health, serves Austin, Texas, and it's amazing the work just by perusing the website. And I was like, I've got to get to know this person. So I reached out and I said, hey, how about if you just presented at one of our free webinars on something having to do with building a practice? And so I had group practice on my mind, but really I was open to anything. And Max came up with this amazing idea of presenting about mind mapping, which I knew nothing about. So I was so excited to hear what they had to present. And we passed a couple of emails. And so what you're about to listen to is the result of those emails and Max being willing to teach us, literally teach us, how to use mind mapping to strategically plan a private practice. You're going to love this. And when you get a second, follow Max on Instagram. They are doing amazing things for the LGBTQIA+ community in Austin, Texas, and all over the country. And remember, if you want to sign up for our next free webinar, just go to katewalkertraining.com/free webinar. All right, let's get to work.
I think to give everyone a little context about why mind mapping is helpful, I'm going to explain to you how I used it, right? And how it has sort of helped me grow my practice. And then we're going to walk through it. I'm also going to explain to folks how I use it with clients, because this is a tool that I use with clients because it's applicable to just about everything. And I think that's why I really love it. It helps you get out of your own way and that it helps you organize your thoughts. And I partner it with some SWOT analysis and some other things. So we're using some other strategic planning tools as well, particularly in terms of business development. But when I went into private practice 6 years ago, almost 7, I was moving into private practice from the nonprofit world. And I was working specifically in middle schools. And prior to that, I'd worked in foster care in Detroit. And so my whole thing now was that if I was going to do this, I had to accept insurance. And that's a headache for everyone, but that was how I made it work in my heart. And so for a long time, about 4 years, I was just a solo practitioner and I was tapping in that space. And I was also working full time in a nonprofit setting and doing private practice part time. So if I needed an exit strategy ever, I would have one. Lo and behold, my partner had our first child. I became a parent. It was time to leave the nonprofit world and do something that required more flexibility and more autonomy. And so I moved into full-time private practice. But because I'd done a lot of mind mapping and because I'd created, you know, I take insurance. And so I'm never at a dearth for clients. That was never an issue. It's an easy means of sustainable source of clients, right? So after that, had our first kiddo, successful individual private practice. And I thought I was happy in that space. And I was. And then COVID happened and life changes and we have to adjust. And so I took my practice fully online and my wait list just grew and grew and grew because we took insurance. And so it was time to grow into a group practice because I couldn't ethically, you know, condone leaving people on my wait list for what would have been like 3 years, basically. So grew into a group practice, was still at this point doing all of my own administrative work. So all of the credentialing, all of the paperwork, all of the billing, all of the things. Figured out that my ADHD makes me not great at that. And so I hired an administrative assistant who honestly, like having offloaded that emotional burden has been the reason that my practice has been able to flourish in the way that it has in the past 2 years. So since moving into group practice, since delegating some tasks, we have moved into a space of now we offer psychiatry and gender-affirming HRT for transgender and non-binary adults. We also have registered dietitians on staff to do health at every size informed medical nutrition. And this fall, we are adding a holistic healthcare service line that will include massage and acupuncture to start cupping, energy work, that sort of thing, because we know that trauma lives in the body. And each one of our specialties is sort of, we are limited in what we can do, right? But when we remove those barriers, put everybody in the same place, speaking the same language with the same information, working together, creates a safety net of services. And so that's really like the integrated healthcare part of this.
That's wonderful. Like, I mean, can I just pause a second? Can we all just kind of absorb what that is? And you've only been at this for 7 years. Now, I know you're going to talk about strategic planning in a minute, but those of you who are new to this or who are just like dreaming about this, I mean, I want you to really kind of understand what you're going to learn tonight. You know, this is literally how to take a dream and turn it into something that exists. It's in reality. And I'm blown away by what you've accomplished in such a short amount of time. Congratulations.
Thank you. I feel very fortunate to do what I love every day. So to sort of segue into how do we use mind mapping then to start achieving these things, right? I learned about mind mapping through this handy tool that I've been using for the past 6 or 7 years as a passion planner. So that is actually like my first exposure to mind mapping and what their exercise is. And it's one that I've done with clients and sort of tailored for myself is at the beginning of every year, because it's set up just like a calendar year, they have a mind map exercise for you to do. And so you set a timer. I believe, you know, it's like 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, lifetime are your goals. And you're supposed to list everything that you want to achieve in those timeframes within 5 minutes. So you set a timer for 5 minutes. And the idea is that when you've got that little bit of like applied pressure from the time, you're thinking and you're listing the things that immediately come to mind, which means they're higher priority, right? We're not sitting here listing, like trying to sitting here for 20 minutes, trying to think of literally all the things. So we create a little bit of a pressurized situation. They say 5 minutes. When I do this with clients, it's usually between 4 and 7, depending on where they are and what their needs are, right? So like, you can flex it a little bit for sure. I do think that 5 minutes is pretty accurate though. And so what we do then, we're all going to do this as an exercise. So by the end of this, you will all have literally made your first mind map and used some additional strategic planning tools as well. And so in preparation, as I explain this to you, if you don't have a writing utensil and paper, this would be a great time to grab it. So we do the initial mind map of, you know, 6 months, a year, 3 years, lifetime, or 5 years in lifetime. What I love about it is that even when you're doing it for your business specific, you're still going to want to keep it general because all of your goals are connected. If your goal is to take more vacation or take a vacation in 5 years, that means that you have to start making financial business goals now, right? And so everything is tied. And really, when you're able to sort of see it all, then you're able to prioritize it and get out of your own way. The idea is kind of like a Pensy, right? Like we take it from being in your brain and we put it on some paper. We can see what's there. We prioritize it. And then what you do next, and we're not going to do steps 4, 5, 6, right? We're only going to do the initial one. Y'all can do the rest of them later. Is that for each time period, so 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, lifetime, you pick the one that you want to prioritize and you create a mind map specific to that goal. So what are all of the things that need to happen in order to achieve that goal? So everybody grab a piece of paper and a writing utensil. I'm going to set a timer for 5 minutes. But before we do that, you need to set up your mind map. Okay, so on your piece of paper, in the center of your paper, write today's date. Today is July 27th, 2023. Okay, and so from the middle, you're going to draw like a connecting line out toward each corner of your paper. So it looks kind of like an X, but we're respecting the middle spot. And so in the bottom right, you're going to put the date 6 months from now. Hold on, I have to do some social work math. January 27th, 2024. Okay, that's the bottom right. We're going to do top left is going to be lifetime. So these are the things that you want to achieve in your lifetime. And I think personally, and this is something that I've seen for other people too, 5 years is too long to think out because the world moves so fast. So we're going to do 3 years. 3 years tends to be a good amount of time because then you can make some adjustments too. Like think about how the world has changed in the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. 5 years is too far out to predict. So then we've got 7, 27, 26.
All right. So if y'all are listening on a replay, you know, basically we just have the date in the middle and then four arms extending out.
With 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, and lifetime. I know this topic is supposed to be about business development. We're going to broaden it because as much as we try to compartmentalize our business development as business owners, it is everything. Right? Like it falls into every part of your life, regardless of whether you want it to or not. Similarly, like I am a parent and my children inform every aspect of my life. So compartmentalization is a fallacy.
Never works.
It doesn't work. And it's helpful, I think, to also see and understand how the various parts of our life impact each other. When we acknowledge that they impact each other, we can actually make adjustments. Rather than being in denial and saying, nope, this goes here and this goes here. And it's got a very tangible box. It doesn't, or messy. Okay. So take a moment, take a breath, think about your life, your whole life, the people in your life, your relationship with yourself, the things you love to do, the things you were doing that you wish you were not, the changes you want to make, the growth you want to make. Think about all of it. Hold it there. Okay. I'm going to set a timer for 5 minutes. And so what this is allowing all aspects of your life sort of to build in your brain. And you're going to try to acknowledge as many of them as you can, or as many feel relevant right now. But the more you acknowledge, the more you are able to see the various things. All right. And so what do you want for yourself in each of these time frames? Nothing is off limits. If you want to visit all 7 continents in the next 3 years, baby, put it on the list, right? So this is the dream big opportunity, right? Okay. So
now I'll play some music.
Yes. And I am setting a timer for 5 minutes. So on your mark, get set, begin.
It's back to school time. No, I'm not talking about the kiddos. I'm talking about you. Yep. Put down that margarita and beach towel and grab your pumpkin spice latte. And, well, if you're in Texas, you may still want that margarita since it's still 100 degrees outside. But it is time to step up your counseling career with some quality CEs. We all know that counselors need quality, continuing education courses full of great information that will help them build their career, protect their license, grow a practice, and stay out of trouble. And, you know, bonus points if the course isn't boring and outdated. But the real barrier to getting great information, a lot of information can be overwhelming, and you, my badass, are busy. Then you start asking yourself, well, okay, how can I improve my practice while still caring for people in my practice? How can I grow my skill set, become a supervisor without losing work-life balance? How can I find quality training that won't cost too much money and time? Because if you have to miss work to take a course, then you just doubled the cost of that course. Courses with tempting titles grab your attention and snatch your money, and so I get it. You're a little hesitant to jump into a course, even if you know it's going to help your career and protect your license. Let me make it easy for you. How about a free monthly webinar? That's it. No strings attached. A free monthly webinar where you can get CE documentation if you need it. Want me to sweeten the deal? How about webinars presented by experts on topics counselors need, like an accountant presenting how to ethically prepare your accounts for tax season, a seasoned practice owner who can help you understand SEO and improve your Google ranking so your community can actually find you, an attorney who will explain how to avoid common complaints. That was literally our spring speaker lineup, and every webinar is presented after 5 p.m. Every webinar is completely free, and every webinar meets the new Texas rule mandating that 50% of CEs come from a designated provider. That's me. Feel overwhelmed by lots of choices and want an interactive training with a real person? The free webinars are presented by real people, facilitated by yours truly, and there is always an opportunity for Q&A. Here's what we have coming up in the next 4 months. September 21st, we're going to be going through the latest LPC rules. This webinar will offer two CEs because we want to make sure we have lots of time for questions. I'm dual licensed LPC and LMFT, so if you're LMFT in Texas, I'm not going to leave you out. October 25th, I'm presenting a webinar for the supervisor curious. Scared of becoming a clinical supervisor? Attend this webinar and help me get you over your fears and out into the field where you can multiply the difference you make in underserved Texas communities. November, I'll host another Bridging the Gap from grad school to LPC associate, and December is always giveaway month. And this year, I'm giving away more grants to practice owners, supervisors, and wannabes who have a heart for serving underserved Texans. Look for info and applications coming soon. Need the recording because you can't make it? Step It Up members get the recording converted into an online course that they can take whenever they like. That's right, on your schedule. You're the one working your butt off, getting the kids off to school, trying to return all the calls and emails that come with a new school year, so I'm going to make it easy for you. Just go to katewalkertraining.com/free webinar. That's katewalkertraining.com/FREEWEBINAR. You're too important to lose because you paid too much for courses with tempting titles, you sat through boring live trainings, and you got suckered into live, disorganized presentations. It's time to take the next step in your counseling career. Go to katewalkertraining.com/free webinar. See you on the inside.
And there's the alarm. All right. How was that?
This was intense.
Yeah.
I mean, I took a few notes before our call, but
yeah,
it's okay. I can't wait to hear what next.
So I'm going to put a question out to the room, so to speak. What did y'all learn?
have a lot of goals.
You have a lot of goals. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Go ahead and shout them out.
I think I don't think about my goals enough. I don't think about what I want enough. I work too much and don't dream enough.
Sure. Okay.
I'm the opposite. I've already known. I've been constantly thinking about them and yeah.
Yeah. I think it was nice to put stuff in the corners. I think it was Catherine that mentioned just a little while ago, just having all the thoughts in your head. So it was really nice to have a place for them to go because none of this was surprising. Like all of this is stuff I'm fully conscious that is things I want to do, but it was really nice to be able to put them in corners.
I think I was surprised at how much I could accomplish in a pretty, like, that's not very long, right? 3 years is not very long. And I was like, oh yeah, I could do that.
I think I was slapped in the face with the idea or the reality that my goals seem to all be financially oriented and that there doesn't seem to be a great deal in terms of personal goals.
Sure.
I started getting distracted on, I almost got distracted on how I'm going to do this. And I had to stop myself because when I wrote down that I wanted to increase my revenue and decrease my work hours, I almost stopped and started trying to come up with a strategy on how I was going to do that, which was going to be discouraging. And then I wouldn't have written in my other dreams and goals because I would have gotten caught up into, I don't know how to do this. And then I would have been stuck. So I had to redirect myself. And I had a distraction because my daughter wanted to come in and tell me she loved me and get a kiss. So I almost said, you're in my way. I'm trying to write my goals. But then I remember what you said about the kids being part of it. So I wrote down increased quality time with kids. That way she wouldn't feel like she had to come in and interrupt my meeting.
Sure. Yeah. I always find this helpful because it shows me where I'm lacking balance, right? If someone's goals are primarily financial, and that's fine. You know, like there's no shame in anyone's goals being what they are, right? And what I particularly like about this activity is it meets you exactly where you are. These are your goals right now. These are the things that you are thinking about right now. We are not trying to change any of it. It is simply where you are. And I think that when we take it from our brain and we put it on the paper, we can no longer be in denial about it. We feel less shame about it. It becomes more possible because it's no longer in our head. It exists elsewhere in the universe, right? And we can be more action oriented. And like, if you want to have feelings about what your goals are, that's all part of it too. We're necessarily going to have feelings about it. And that's, I think, I can't separate social work and mental health from business because it is my business, right? Like these activities, I think, are pretty useful for corporations, but they leave out the human factor. You have to acknowledge that you're going to have feelings about goal setting and that you might have to do some things that are uncomfortable or talk to people that you're like, I don't know about that. Or, you know, make some changes and get creative in terms of strategizing about getting from point A to point B. The other part of this that's a bit challenging is like, you know, the next part will be choosing a goal and we're going to tease it out and make a plan. That's your next part. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, there it is. Found it again. I'm glad. Life happens, right? And it's really easy to say, okay, this is the plan. These are the goals. This is the plan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, check all the boxes in this order. And I think that if COVID has taught us anything, it is that the plan is tenuous at best, and we have to be able to pivot and evolve and adjust. And so I think as we talk about this as a strategic planning tool, there has to be some acknowledgement that it's just that. It is just a tool. It is meant to help us brainstorm and think and organize those thoughts and put something into action, create that plan, and then life happens. And we have to be able to be flexible enough to come back to this and say, and that's where the SWOT analysis comes in. And that's where all of these other tools come in. But we have to be able to say, all right, so that didn't go as intended, or this is taking 6 months longer than I thought. Here's where we are. And that's okay.
So I'm going to throw something out there because I don't know how many of you are in a different phase of your practice. You know, the early phase of your practice when you're super hungry and you're, you know, you're building things. you know, I don't know how many of you out there are a little older like me, right? And I'm thinking, okay, I've accomplished a lot of my goals. Here I am, my kids have launched. Now what? So I want to kind of throw that out there to those of you in the second half of life. That's a place that sometimes, I don't know, to me feels with my clients kind of like a black hole. Like, okay, what do I do now? What are the goals now? And so that's where I'm at.
Anyone have any thoughts?
I'll jump in there on that. An observation really quick that I did notice before I answer that question is that you were talking about 3 years. Well, 3 years ago is when COVID started. Imagine doing this at the beginning of COVID.
Right.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I was just like, my mind blew. I'm an older clinician as well. And actually, I'm just at the beginning phases of launching my private practice. This is a second career for me. So I think my view is a little bit different, but I would say my kids are basically launched, still needing some support. But actually, I'm thinking a lot about how do I want to work as I age and retirement, and what does that start to look like? And okay, I'm 50 now, right? But what does the next decade look like? And how do I want to slow roll that so that I can work and stay in it and not hustle and burn myself out too.
And that's where finding that balance is really important, right? Yeah, I think the hard part, I'm sort of in the middle of both of y'all's thing, right? Like I've established my practice, but in a lot of ways, I'm still built into the grind culture because I've got different lines of service that I'm trying to launch. And also, I don't want to work more than like 27 hours a week. Period. Like that's my goal is to make X number of dollars per year working 27 hours a week, which gives me time to take care of my toddlers and take care of my own mental health and myself, right? Because we know that this field is not sustainable in the way that it's set up currently. You know, and I think that as you are doing this exercise and mind mapping, doing some visualization along with it, around like, and I think this is the social work part that comes in that's really helpful, using some somatic experiencing and actual therapy tools to really bolster and boost this activity. You know, like when you think about your practice, actually visualize what a week of that looks like from start to finish, how you want your days to go. Do you want to see 4 to 5 clients a day? What time of day would that be? What do you need to do to take care of yourself? How are you going to feed yourself? Right? Like really work through Maslow's hierarchy of needs with this, because when you are addressing those sort of external things, then it gives you more context to really inform how you're going to build your practice and what your priorities are there. And so I think that's when, you know, we were talking about listing all of those goals, not just your business oriented goals, but your personal goals, your relational goals, et cetera. That's why. Is because you have to create time and build in time for that balance. Otherwise, none of this is sustainable, period. And, you know, like as someone who's coming into this as a second career, thinking about how much emotional availability do you have? How much can we hold in a day? How do you need to strategically set things up? And this is for newbies too, right? But like also as we age, our energy gets a little bit more limited. And so needing to acknowledge that, what do you need to decompress? How do you take care of your own mental health? When you're thinking about all of those external factors, that goes into your business plan. Your business is part of your life, right? So we're creating a life plan and business just happens to be what we're focusing on today. Kate, I see you nodding along up there. Yes.
I can't even tell you how much that resonates with me because you said grind culture. I mean, that's what we train our associates to do, right? Grind, grind, grind. And then here I am, I'm almost 57 and you know, I'm sitting in a state that's not Texas and I'm able to operate my business. And thanks to COVID, you know, we were good at all this stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, I want more of this. I want more free time. I like to conserve my energy. I still want to affect the profession. And I wrote down, you know, I want to be a resource for my family, my profession and the world. You know, I still want to do that. I just don't want to, you know, work 80 hours a week like I did when I was building my practice, for better or for worse. I mean, I wish I had done a better job at strategic planning.
It also, I think, unfortunately, is just the way the system is set up currently,
for sure.
That sometimes we have to acknowledge and the only way out is through. as with most things, right? Are there ways to do it better? Certainly. But if we don't mess up and have to spend extra time fixing it, then we don't really learn. So that's the core of coming back to the topic, because I want to keep us on topic and give folks a chance to really think about a little bit. That is the primary part of mind mapping. But I think I'm going to give you some things that will help as you move forward, right? And then we're going to do the second part of the activity. So as I do this with therapy clients, and also as I do this as an activity for myself and business development, there are some therapy theories and techniques that I use to sort of enhance the process, so to speak, right? So I use a lot of visualization. I think about like, okay, so here's the idea, and I write it down and I do all the things, right? And then I'm like, what will that actually look like? I'm sort of a visual person. And so I have to imagine it in my head. What does it look like? What does it sound like? Who am I talking to? How does it feel in my body? Right? What if I am engaging in this activity, what other thing do I have to sacrifice or offload in order to do it? Because we can't consistently add more, more, more. That's this part that's unsustainable. If I'm engaging in this new activity, from where am I finding the time and energy, which are our most limited resources? It's got to come from somewhere because we can't create it, right? But really doing that visualization helps put me in a place where I can like problem solve. All right, so this is what I think it would feel like. Now, how do I get there? So I use a lot of visualization, somatic experiencing, right? Because I really do try to put myself in that physical experience as much as I can. A lot of list making. And then once that list is made, prioritizing. And that's part of the next half of the activity, doing SMART goal setting. I also do an escalation continuum for myself, which is an activity that I do with my therapy clients, but it helps me identify my triggers, right? If I'm trying something new, inevitably I will have imposter syndrome about something. And then I kind of have to figure out, how am I going to de-escalate myself in that situation? What about this new thing could potentially be a trigger for me, and how am I going to handle it? So it gives me an opportunity to like pre-plan, right? Cope ahead, if we're using DBT language, to remind myself of those skills that I have, right? So all of these things that we employ with our clients as private practitioners and therapists actually fit really well into mind mapping to give us a full, well-rounded ability to like predict, because we've visualized it, we've put ourselves there. Yeah, Kate?
So my question, you said the, you know, when you said when imposter syndrome comes, can this also help identify when we're starting to self-sabotage?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Because, you know, we know, particularly when it comes to like avoidant behaviors, I think, and regressive behaviors, we're all able to identify what those are. It might look a little bit different if we're in a new situation, right? And so I think that's why it's really helpful to have people who hold you accountable as we are doing this. You know, to say like, hey, this is off. Something is happening. Even if they don't necessarily know that it's like a self-sabotaging behavior for you or wouldn't be able to have those terms. That's why having someone like a really helpful assistant, for instance, whose skills are different from your own. Mine, I am the dreamer, right? And she's like, Max, check your email. But we need that. And we need people to be able to hold us gently accountable and to identify like, hey, what is actually happening? And then you come back and you think about it. But I think absolutely right, Kate, that part of that escalation continuum and that prediction is being able to identify those self-sabotaging behaviors, 100%. And then the last thing that I tend to do, and it partners with mind mapping really well, is a SWOT analysis. So for those of you who don't know, it's used in a lot of strategic planning, and it's a reflection tool. So after you start or do an initiative, say, for instance, like it's something that I would do 6 months after starting a psychiatric program or like a media campaign or whatever, and that stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So strengths, what went well? Weakness, where can we improve? We in the social work world would call that challenges, right? What didn't go well? We need to name it, because that's the opportunity for growth. Opportunities. What new opportunities came out of this? Where did we network? Where did we meet people? Right. And then threats. So that would be like, as an example, I'm starting a psychiatric. Well, I've been growing a psychiatric line. Right. And so now there's been legislation that says that you have to see someone in person starting in November in order to prescribe stimulants or any like ADHD medication, and then also testosterone for trans folks. So any controlled substance, you now have to do an in-person. My business is fully telehealth. So a threat to my psychiatric line and some figure out is how do I pivot and adjust in the next 3 months in order to continue the service provision, right? So that's what I mean when I talk about threats. It's like, where are these possible changes if the power grid goes down again, because it's too hot? If, you know, like we need to be able to identify various threats to success and then try and plan for them as best possible. So that's the SWOT analysis. And it's a reflection tool that partners really well with a follow-up mind map. So I'll lead you all through that in a minute. As I want you to look at your mind map, the one that you've currently made, and I want you to pick the one thing on the mind map that feels most relevant for you right now. It does not have to be professional. It can be. It doesn't have to be. We're going for relevance here, right? Okay. So we're going to crunch the time just a smidge. I'm going to set a timer and you're going to write down as many things as you can think of in order to make that top priority. They don't have to be in any particular order. The second part of that is you put them in order. Right now, it's just letting your brain go to think about all of the things that need to go in order, because let's face it, thought is not linear, at least not at first. So I'm going to set a timer for 3 minutes, 30 seconds. We are going to come back then and figure out what it was like to actually make the plan to put it all out, right? Go ahead.
Feel free to pause while you carry out the activity.
In time. All right. So take a look at all the things that you came up with and put them in order from what needs to happen most immediately all the way through the end to goal achievement. Some of them might need to happen simultaneously. You can acknowledge that however you need to, but that's the next thing. You're essentially coming up with your plan. How was that for folks? Good. I'm seeing some nods.
This is the part that I get like clenched up a little, you know, because this is like, okay, this is where the work is. This is the thing that I may be self-sabotaging and postponing. And, oh, wouldn't it be better if I just clean out all my closets instead of do these things, you know?
Right on. So here are some things that I have found helpful in this part, because you're right. This is the process, right? The process is difficult. Is for each of these, if you can go through like the five W's, who, what, when, where, why, and how, because then what that shows you is it may not necessarily be your full responsibility. There might be someone else who can help you with this, who can teach you something, who you can delegate to, right? I think a lot of times when we're doing goal setting, particularly in a small business setting where it's just you and you're trying to figure it out, or like you and a whole group, a small group of people of which you are the leader and the captain of the ship, it feels like everything is your burden and your responsibility, when in reality, it's super helpful to be kind of transparent sometimes, because it helps build the team and it helps folks have ownership. And also, more minds means more creativity, and they might have thoughts and vision and abilities and knowledge and gaps where you have blind spots. So if we are doing with each of those bullet points, right, who, what, where, when, why, if you need a how, cool. And then the other thing that you do is you assign a time frame. So like if you, or a date. So then you've got specifics, like real specifics, and you've got everything in order. And then you write it all out so it's neat and not a jumble of information on a paper on a mind map, right? Unless that's helpful for how your brain works. But often we need to. And then what you'll find is as you transfer it from the initial piece of paper to whatever format you use, you get more clarity. You're able to say, nope, not this. I'm going to do this. We're going to move things around, right? So it's like an editing process when you move from that initial plan to the like the second edition, basically. And then, you know, maybe you do a revision after you do the first three steps. And you're like, okay, does this still fit, right? I think the thing about this is we assume that it's a one and done sort of situation, when in reality, it's a constant process of revision. So that's it. So to wrap, to put a bow on it, a neat little bow, if you were doing mind mapping for your business specifically, right, we would do 6 months 1 year, or, you know, yeah, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, or lifetime, however you want to do it. But if we're doing it in a 3 month chunk, I think that like the best way to do it would be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 1 year from now, 3 years from now, specific to your business, right? You do all the things that I led you through in that first part. And then you do a mind, like the second activity that we just did, you find one thing to prioritize in each one of those timeframes. And you do this activity for each one of those. And I think what you'll find is that the things you prioritize are all connected. So what you're actually doing is creating that 3 year plan. And it's pretty helpful that way.
Matt, so we've got, do you use anything like Trello or Asana, or are you paper and pencil? Do you tape it up?
I am a paper and pencil human. This is it. I have notebooks upon notebooks upon notebooks. I find and have always found that writing is just the best way for me to like process all the things. Mm-hmm. I know that that is not for everyone. So, you know, I think that's a really good point, is figuring out what tool works best for you. That being said, I mean, like using fine motor skills is a really great way to process when you're thinking. And so even if you were just doing the initial plan, right, in paper and pen or paper and pencil, and then you transfer it to a Word doc or a Google doc or something else and move it from there. But I do think that occasionally revisiting it by hand is helpful, because you get that added process, right, that comes right from the fine motor skills.
And if folks wanted to contact you, because I knew you do some consulting on this, right? Using mind mapping to help folks who are growing a practice or who have a vision like yours. How can they contact you?
So I'll put my email in the chat, but it is M as in Max, Casero, which is my last name, Casero, at Prism Integrated Health. It is the longest in the world.com. So that is my email. Y'all can email me questions. I'm available. If you are in Texas, great. If you are in Austin, even better. I really enjoy working this into like a restorative practices framework for HR development and affinity groups. I think it's super helpful as we're talking about, I mean, decolonizing corporations really is what we're talking about here. But this is a great way. This is a starter tool for doing that, and then applying some bigger social concepts to it is pretty helpful. And, you know, when we're applying a mental health framework in general, it is automatically helping sort of meet those small business owners where they are to really truly achieve their needs, instead of trying to like just put them into a business development box.
I want to thank you. I mean, this is so good. And this is what people have been asking me for, you know, really helping to jumpstart a private practice. I appreciate your time. Folks, please reach out to Max and ask for more information. I know these little webinars, it's like once we get going and then they're done. And it's like, I know you want more information. So please, please reach out. Remember, just some housekeeping stuff. If you do want the CE, you'll get one. You'll get one. Just give us some time. You know, we'll catch up when we can next month. This is our presenter for next month. So we've got Sarah Almendares is going to present step-by-step private practice building August 31st, 1CE as usual. Here is, if you're a supervisor, don't forget we have the Texas Supervisor Consultation Workshop Series season tickets. Talk about a long name. Those will be going away in a few weeks. So please grab those while you can. And again, to contact Max, reach out. Don't sit there and think, oh, wait, I mean, because I don't know about you, but like my stomach clenches up sometimes when I start to really detail and drill into these. And you heard what they said, you know, we need outside help. We need someone who can, you know, guide us through. You don't have to do it all by yourself. So Max, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again so much. And everybody else, I will see you in Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses out there in podcast or Facebook. Everybody have a great evening.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Hey, badasses, we can all agree that counselors want a path to a successful counseling career, but that means you have to find quality training. That's not even the real barrier. The real problem is a lot of information can be overwhelming, and you, my badass, are busy. So you're probably asking yourself, how can I improve my practice while still caring for people? How do I grow my skill set, become a supervisor, without losing my work-life balance? How do I find quality training that won't cost too much time and money? Bottom line, counselors who want a successful counseling career value the goal of growing their skill set and even becoming a supervisor, but at the same time struggle with finding time to attend quality courses. Counselors can't overcome this barrier because so many times courses with tempting titles overpromise and underperform. Let me ask you something. What if there were courses that delivered exactly what they promised, that didn't take a lot of time, and didn't break the bank? That's exactly the kind of course we design at Kate Walker Training. I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand. And we have so many to choose from. If you're asking yourself, where do I go if I want to sustain my practice and grow my marketing presence? Well, check out the Step It Up membership. What do you do if you're ready to pay it forward and add streams of income? Well, check out the supervisor training. See if you're eligible. If you're looking for an experience that's more hands-on, keep an eye out for open enrollment for Badass Basics and our exclusive mastermind groups. Dr. Kate Walker, thank you so much for listening to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses. Thank you to Ridgely Walker for her lovely voiceovers at our introduction. And do me a favor, when you get a second, please like, share, and subscribe, and write us a review. That's really how we get picked up by other RSS feeds, and we get this information out to the mental health badasses who need it. Thanks again, and keep saving the world with excellent therapy.